He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
This show is being broadcast during a wonderful spate of time of fall weather, which has everybody out in cars that you do not normally see around on the roads from, I would say, November through April. It's been blessedly sunny. The convertibles are all out and about with their tops down. Sports cars from Corvettes to Mustangs to Ferraris to Aston's are all being driven by their owners around the Connecticut roadways as I have traveled them over the last several days.
So what were you driving?
I didn't hear that, but anyway.
What were you driving?
I was driving a Jeep Cherokee.
That's it? Do you have a convertible?
I do.
Ford Mustang. Just because I've noticed that a lot of you, I have to say, that convertible thing, that was after day two of the gorgeous weather, it's like the convertibles rebloomed.
The convertible rebloomed, Jill. That was a very good way to put it. You know, we've talked about auto sales, but we haven't really specified on show after show about what is selling other than electric cars and SUVs. But you know what? There is a world of convertible buyers out there. And, you know, the American manufacturers have basically dropped off the face of the planet with convertible options, except for the Mustang and the Ford department. I don't think that, and I guess Camaro has a convertible for GM. But there's not a sort of sedan-like convertible in the American lineup anymore. So you are left to Nissan, which did, and I don't know whether they still have a convertible, BMW, Mercedes, Audi, and
Porsche.
Sort of the exotics. And they are all over the roads, and it's really fun to see that people do want convertibles, even though the American manufacturers don't think there's a profitable market in them. And this gets back to comments I've made on the shows prior to this about how the American manufacturers seem to have a very short attention span about car production or the types of cars they want to produce when sales drop off so that they deem that it's not profitable for them to keep producing them. So they just end the production. And yet there are people out there, the Miata is another convertible two-seater, but the four-seater convertibles are really now in the hands of, I think, Nissan, Mercedes, Audi, and BMW. And there may be a couple of those out there as well that are four-seaters. But they're all over the place, and it's a pleasure to see people enjoying a very nice late fall, summer-like weather as we've had over the last several days. To that end, I said, I think, at a show a week or two ago on the convertible subject that there aren't any electric or hybrid convertible vehicles being produced with the combination of either of gasoline and electric motors and or just purely electric motors. So I don't know whether that's going to ever make it into the electric vehicle lineups or not, but if it doesn't, it's going to bode well for those who continue to mint four-passenger-like sedan-like convertibles into the future.
Well, you would think that an electric convertible would be kind of would make sense. Unlike what Volkswagen produced, I don't know when was the last time they did that, but you could get a Volkswagen and I think Audis too convertibles in Europe with diesel engines, which you know seems a little weird, but then again, why not?
What about electric convertibles? Anyone have that?
I don't think so, but. I'm sure Elon.
No, I was just going to say, note to Elon.
Note to Elon. He's working on it. He's got to redesign his truck first.
Why does he have to do that? Is there a problem?
Well, I think I've read something about that the Cybertruck is going to be redesigned, which is not.
Does that surprise me, Jay? As it probably doesn't surprise you.
No, it doesn't. It served it. The Cybertruck served its marketing purpose. Now it'll come back as a real truck, and it'll sell real well. So,
well, the Cybertruck, as I watched it be unveiled, failed miserably in the bulletproof glass department. As whether or not the new one is going to have appropriately bulletproof glass in or not, I don't know. But I do agree, Jay, for what I could hear that from you, is that if it is, I think it should be redesigned, because I think it's, you know, Elon is a little bit atypical of in the car design business, at least as far as the truck's concerned, in my opinion. And yes, it got a lot of early orders. I don't know whether once it showed up on the roads or shows up on the roads, whether it's going to really be a practical alternative to the standard type of pickup truck that real pickup truck users want. I think there'll be a very niche group of buyers that'll like it for its uniqueness, and they'll go buy it for that reason. But whether or not it'll be a practical pickup truck will be for us to look at once we see them on the roads and see what kind of numbers of them become on the roads going forward. But I don't think it's going to be a high-profit vehicle for Musk if he even gets it onto the road in numbers. I don't know when it's due out, Jay. Is it due out in 2021 early?
Yeah, 2021. I'm not sure. When he's ready. When the world is ready.
When he's ready. That's about the best way to put Elon Musk.
Well, you have to give it credit. It's worked so far. I have a question, though, just because I keep meaning to get to this in pretty much every show and somehow don't. And that is, are you seeing anything different on the roads right now? With the, let's just say, influx of people who have basically planted themselves here?
Not much, because I'm on the road less than I used to be, but I do see and I read about rental cars being on the roads quite a bit. So people who are coming from the city are scrambling to find rental cars, and rental car companies are actually sort of relieved, because they were going down a spiral that was not looking too good for them. But going through this pandemic and the combination of the fact that people don't want to ride in Ubers and Lyfts, the rental car business has picked up again, and a lot of people are renting cars to get out of the city and just come. Our neck of the woods.
And do you know what's the cost like for that? Do you know? I mean, it used to be, remember, way, way back, you probably weren't born, but there, if, for example, you went out to L.A., you'd rent a Rolls Royce if you felt like it. There was just the rental car business was a whole thing, not to mention pre-enterprise.
I think the rental car business is a smart calculation in some cases, you know. And I've done this before. You go on a long trip and you find a great deal on a car for a week, let's say, and with unlimited miles, and you go down to Florida and back, it is less expensive to do that in a rental car than it is to do that with your own car.
Yes, I think, I don't know whether the unlimited mileage plans are still out there.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we watched, I haven't heard much about Hertz lately in the rental car business, because they were in Chapter 19 or whatever their bankruptcy level was.
Chapter 11,
and were being forced to sell off a lot of their vehicles just when, as Jay is suggesting, the rental car market has made a comeback, certainly over this COVID virus situation, when people want to get out of the city. And rental car companies are known for having to move their vehicles around the countryside, country to different major urban areas for major holiday type events, because that's when people want to get out of cities and go out and they need a vehicle if they don't own one already.
Well, in New York, for instance, it's hard to find a rental car, but there are plenty of rental cars at the New York airports, whether it's Newark, LaGuardia, or JFK, because nobody's flying, so the cars are there, and if you just get out of the city and make your way to the airport, you will find plenty of rental cars.
You know, I will just say that I think your comment is appropriate, but it's a little late because people are flying again. So the rental car markets, maybe being visited by the people landing now more than they were maybe a month and a half ago. So if there are lots of cars there, I guess it pays to fly. and fly into them to get to them, as opposed to try to get one from the middle of the city, which, as you say, Jay, is almost probably impossible to find. But enough on rentals, I think. Jill, to answer your question from my standpoint, because I am driving quite a bit on the roads, and I don't see anything major different other than the traffic count has picked up, certainly during rush hour periods, and the four-lane commuter paths, as we know them, are now pretty well jam-packed during the rental hour,
commuter times.
The business hours of the morning when people are trying to get from home to work. You know, the local roads around here or between here and New York, 684, for example, is four lanes where it's four lanes or three lanes packed going south in the morning, and it's three lanes packed going north to the Waterbury-Danbury turnoff, not the Danbury-New York turnoff onto 84 in the evening hours. And it is just always that way. And that tells me that people are back on the roads more so than they were 3 months ago.
Okay. I just wondered if there was a sort of a breed, a car brand.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Just curious. You've been, I have to say, both of you have been around this area long enough to have noticed some sort of influx. You would note if there's one thing.
Along with your awareness of convertible usage, I will tell you that the sedan is not dead either. And this is another area where the American manufacturers have sort of let go of the sedan type of vehicle from their car lines going forward for the most part, and leaving it now to the Asian car companies, Japanese, Koreans, and the Europeans, who are all still making sedans. And I see a lot of new Audis on the road, sedan vehicles, brands, along with their SUV-type vehicles, but there are a lot of Japanese and Toyotas and Hyundais and Kias, sedans along mixed in with the SUVs, even though the SUV may still be the biggest market for most of these companies going into 2021. But I can recognize the new ones versus the older ones, and there are plenty of new sedans on the roads.
Well, that's good. I know a lot of people who are quite happy with their sedans. So I've just, I also sadly am elderly enough to remember when it was decreed that the SUV was dead. So it didn't take long for that to be disproved. I remember when everyone was going to be driving around in little RAV4s and whatnot because the behemoths were, and I'm not talking about the people carriers. I'm talking about the bigger SUVs like the Suburbans and the even the Tahoes, etc. At that time, were going to be canceled for lack of interest, and of course that absolutely didn't verify.
No, the new Tahoes and Suburbans are out, and and they're coming out with diesel engines. Actually, not available yet, but probably by spring. So their fuel mileage will be better than it has been historically, but they're also priced. It's going to take $80,000 to get into a Suburban, which is absolutely crazy. And they're, I think, overall they're going to be a lot fewer than there used to be, just because they're better. There are more alternatives in the bigger SUV, not quite humongous, but larger SUVs. There are plenty of options in the $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 range. I mean, they're expensive vehicles, but you see plenty of them out there.
Yeah, and speaking of expensive, something that we rather kept an eye on along the way is how much the how much people are pretty much willing to pay without flinching, before it moves into the super high end. Does anyone want to revise that?
I don't have updated numbers. We know that the median price, has creeped up to 37. It might be a little more now, but it's somewhere between $37,000 and $40,000, and probably climbing steadily. the used car market is also pretty hot, and prices have been pretty strong there too, which has boded well for back to Hertz and the rental car companies. Actually, I just read something about Hertz, doing okay in their bankruptcy reorganization because they were able to sell a ton of cars. They had to downsize their fleet, and they were able to sell a ton of cars at decent prices. I don't know where I was going with this, but...
Well, thank you. Thank you wherever you were going.
The car market is pretty good. Car companies are making profits. GM, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but made a ton of money in the third quarter, and it boggles analysts' minds, actually, to see how well the auto industry is doing and how quickly they have recovered, as we're still going through the pandemic. And better so here in the U.S. than in European markets.
And Robin, are you? Is there anything that? It's really hard with European markets. How do you judge also with European markets? And has anyone checked Asian markets? Because I thought that they were flying.
They are. I don't know about.
I don't
all
mean flying
Asian markets,
literally,
but I know that China is flying, and they are. You know, they are by far the biggest car market in the world, and the U.S. is still number two, but China really is the biggest market, and that's where most manufacturers are, prioritizing their efforts. They have fully recovered since the pandemic, which arrived there earlier than it did here, and they seem to have handled it somewhat better, and there seems to be less of an issue at this point anyway. But the car market is booming in China.
And is there a special type of car? Do we know about sedans? Are they compact? Do we know what's selling really well there?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say it, the market is so huge. The offerings are, even the manufacturers that we know, the American manufacturers and European manufacturers, the cars they're building either there or, there are a lot of joint ventures with a bunch of Chinese manufacturers that I cannot even name, and the models are very different. So I think they have a lot of little SUVs, but they have luxury cars, they have big SUVs. They have pretty much everything we have. They just have different models. But quite frankly, I don't know much about what's being driven around China.
Okay. And Robin, I don't suppose you have any further insight into that?
Well, on the Chinese market, for example?
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of, first of all, Chinese startups or companies are getting into the electric market pretty quickly. I think the electric market in China is probably doing very well, or is going to be guided into doing very well by the government. And maybe so in other countries where there's air pollution is a big issue. But I don't know I don't follow it on a monthly basis to know that it is raging along and where electric models are really the primary sales that are going on there, or whether there's, I've heard VW's fortunes in China are recovering after they were going downhill for a while. That
and
may be true with
models.
The American market. Buick was a big market in China for a while. I don't know whether that's still holding. Jay may know the answer to that.
No, I don't know much about how Buick is doing in China, but I know VW has four electric models now on the Chinese market. They have, I believe, one in Europe and one coming here. We have the SUV version of the hatchback. We have the ID4 coming next spring, and Europe has the Golf equivalent in the ID3. But apparently VW has, as of now, four models on the Chinese market. So that, again, that's where people are betting their futures.
It would appear that way.
Yep.
We've got a few minutes left. Does anyone want to do safety tips? Even though it's lovely, once it becomes unlovely again, we're gonna.
I'm gonna be repetitive because I just fail to understand. Well, I know walkers, people who walk don't listen to this show probably, and
no, that's not
people
true.
Don't
they
think
just
about
ignore
it too much. But, you know, clothing is really important and for people walking on the highways and the local roadways. And we have a late sort of fall in our particular broadcast area, and I noted that there are a lot of trees still fully leafed out along many of the local roadways in Fairfield County, Connecticut, which probably hasn't dropped the leaves as quickly as it has up here where we're broadcasting from. But the colors are vibrant, and if people aren't wearing and the sun shining through the trees this morning, masked bicyclists and walkers who are out with their dogs and bicyclists who are out riding. Bicyclists, fortunately, are using strobe lighting. Both many of the smart ones have both forward and rear lighting, red in the rear and white lights in the front. And they are very useful in...
it's critical. My daughter's
a rock
rider, and I just make sure that she has both her lights on, and she does. You know, even in daytime, it's very important.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, and I'm going to interject here just because I drive around more in daytime than I do in nighttime, and I am appalled at the people who just don't think who think. I'm also going to say that night doesn't fall around 4:30 around here; it collapses.
Yeah.
And the number
absolutely, and the people that are walking
around
and
in black
running.
Yeah.
At between the 4 and 4:45 time frame where it sort of collapses.
In black.
Well,
and brown are invisible.
Running and facing traffic, and you should never trust the car coming towards you.
Right.
Just as a matter of principle.
But,
and to that point, you're supposed to walk on the side of the road, or run even, on the side of the road facing the traffic so you can see what the traffic might do if they are forced to move out of the driving lane. And the people who walk along the same line with the traffic, who have their backs to the cars coming down behind them, are at risk in certain instances.
Yeah, and it's just something
I don't know. Nobody's publicizing this walking law, be it a law or common sense. But if you're not walking on the lane facing the traffic coming at you, you're going to be at much more risk if somebody should have to... avoid something coming towards them on the other side, and they have to pull slightly to the right or whatever, or they're looking at their phone, God forbid, and they're drifting to the right. So that's my safety advice for anybody who can listen and is walking on the roadways.
Jay?
I concur.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
Baby, you can drive my-